the energy industry was undergoing major restructuring. The big engineering firms were jockeying to take over, or at least to compete with, the utility companies that previously had enjoyed the privileges of local monopolies. Deregulation was the watchword of the day, and rules changed overnight. Opportunities abounded for ambitious people to take advantage of a situation that baffled the courts and Congress. Industry pundits dubbed it the Wild West of Energy era. One casualty of this process was Maine. As Bruno predicted, Mack Hall had lost touch with reality, and no one dared tell him so. Paul Priddy never asserted control, and Maine's management not only failed to take advantage of the changes sweeping the industry, but also made a series of fatal mistakes. Only a few years after Bruno delivered record profits, Maine dropped its EHM role and was in dire financial straits. The partners sold Maine to one of the large engineering and construction firms that had played its cards right. While I had received almost $30 a share for my stock in 1980, the remaining partners settled for less than half that amount, approximately 4 years later. Thus did 100 years of proud service end in humiliation. I was sad to see the company fold, but I felt vindicated that I had gotten out when I did. The Maine name continued under the new ownership for a while, but then it was dropped. The logo that had once carried such weight in countries around the globe fell into oblivion. Maine was one example of a company that did not cope well in the changing atmosphere of the energy industry. At the opposite end of the spectrum was a company we insiders found fascinating, Enron. One of the fastest-growing organizations in the business, it seemed to come out of nowhere and immediately began putting together mammoth deals. Most business meetings open with a few moments of idle chatter while the participants settle into their seats, pour themselves cups of coffee, and arrange their papers. In those days, the idle chatter often centered on Enron. No one outside the company could fathom how Enron was able to accomplish such miracles. Those on the inside simply smiled at the rest of us and kept quiet. Occasionally, when pressed, they talked about new approaches to management, about creative financing, and about their commitment to hiring executives who knew their way through the corridors of power in capitals across the globe. To me, this all sounded like a new version of old EHM techniques. The global empire was marching forward at a rapid pace. For those of us interested in oil and the international scene, there was another frequently discussed topic: the vice president's son, George W. Bush. His first energy company, Arbusto, Spanish for Bush, was a failure that ultimately was rescued through a 1984 merger with Spectrum 7. Then Spectrum 7 found itself poised at the brink of bankruptcy and was purchased in 1986 by Harkin Energy Corporation. G.W. Bush was retained as a board member and consultant, with an annual salary of $120,000.